You're listening to the Bottom Line podcast, where those living with or beyond bowel cancer, as well as health professionals involved in bowel cancer treatment and care, share their inspirational stories and lived experiences with host and bowel cancer survivor, Stephanie.
Today on the Bottom Line podcast, we're talking to two men who lost their parents to bowel cancer, and they're committed to giving back to the community and giving up alcohol for Dry July. To help raise much needed funds for Bowel Cancer Australia to continue to expand our specialist bowel care nurses program, and so more patients can receive the support they need from an in-person bowel care nurse as well. Connor and Justin, thank you so much for agreeing to come on the Bottom Line podcast today and share your story as a loved one.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you.
Connor, I'm going to start with you. Talk us through why you support Dry July and why it's important to you.
Yeah, I guess the long version is it started with my mum's relationship with my aunt and her sister, Maeve. She died when I was maybe one or two from breast cancer, and you could always see that there was a sort of a big hole in her life that we couldn't understand as children, but like as you learn more about her and the story she used to tell about Maeve and Dad, she used to tell about Maeve, you see the videos of like the holidays where she's holding me as a baby, like you start to appreciate that you're missing something in your life that you didn't know you had. So mum was always big into raising money for charity. Like there's other charities she participated in, such as the Seven Bridges Walk, to try and raise money in memory of her sister. And I thought that was just an easy way of giving back once I turned 18, just by giving up alcohol for the month. I'm part Irish, so I do like the drink, so it is a challenge.
I'm
just thinking about July 1st is already giving me the shakes. So it was always sort of a way of memorializing my Aunt Maeve, raising more money for charity. And then I guess in the last couple of years, it's kind of morphed into something more, I can't say really more seriously, but I guess my attention and effort in trying to be more of an advocate for Dry July has sort of stepped up once my mum went through her own challenge with bowel cancer.
And she, we'll come to that in a minute, and I'll ask you to share your story if you're comfortable with doing that. But Justin, your story, why are you supporting Dry July?
It's something that, yeah, we've probably been doing for the last 5 or 6 years, but we've only actually committed to doing it with Dry July itself and raising some funds over the last couple of years. My dad passed away at age 54 from bowel cancer. It was his second go at it. So he was in remission for about 12 months and then came back again, and obviously a lot harder. So I guess for us, it was more about raising a bit of money and pouring some money back into, you know, an organization that supports people going through situations like we did. So, and yeah, for me, you know, I'm not going to say it's easy to give up for a month, because, you know, there's always social events and fun things to do, but, you know, it's probably the least we could do to raise some money and awareness. So,
as you would both be very aware, you know, giving up for a month, it's difficult, but it's nowhere near as difficult as what your loved ones went through with a bowel cancer diagnosis. Connor, you talk about your mum. Can you tell me, you know, when she was diagnosed and at what age she passed away?
So my mum, Ema, she was 62 when she was first diagnosed with bowel cancer. And by the time she left us, she had turned 63. It was a couple months past that. So yeah, I guess we didn't think it was going to be that quick at all. It was a long time and a short time, if that makes any sense at all, but
it certainly does.
It still also feels like it only happened yesterday.
Yes. And for you, Connor, you now have a young son, and not having your mum there for some of those big milestones is incredibly difficult.
I feel privileged in the sense that we actually got to tell mum that she was going to be a grandparent. So that was really cool. It was actually on her birthday in our house in Gladesville, where my partner Danny got a little card made up saying baby Noon, due in April 2023. And we were giving out presents to everyone because it was my older brother's birthday, it was my birthday, it was kind of presents flying. And then just in a quiet moment when everyone started to settle down for dinner, we kind of said to mum, oh, we got something else for you. It's something me and Danielle made. And we handed her the little card box, and she opened it up, and she's just there looking a bit dumbfounded for 3 seconds and she looks up at Danielle and she's already got tears in her eyes and she said, "Really?" And Danielle nodded and it was just a really cool moment. So I'm glad she got to experience that. And she was also the very first person to find out Theo was going to be a boy before even I or Danielle knew. So she took that one to the grave, which was really cool. So there were little moments we had, but it's hard watching Theo grow up now. He's walking, he's talking, he's starting swimming lessons. He's got a great concept of family and the distance between his family that live in Ireland, the distance between his family that live in Sydney. And he has an appreciation for granny, which is really cool. Like I show him old photos of mum and he's able to say, "That's my granny." And like wants to see photos of her and wants to connect. So it's hard not having that physical connection, but I know she's kind of there guiding him at the same time. And there is a lovely connection, but selfishly, I would like to have her here and experience that with me because she'd be a vast wealth of knowledge that she could pass on.
Absolutely. And it's such a difficult time, especially around children, but how lovely that you could share at least that moment, but it doesn't make it any easier. Justin, for you, losing your dad, it was 9 years ago. Talk us through that experience for you.
Well, at the time, I was just about to open my first restaurant. So sadly, he didn't get to see it once we did open, but he got to see some of the photos of the renovations and stuff we were doing. It was sort of kind of, not that there's ever a good time, but there was a good time that we were focusing on building a restaurant that I didn't have, set work hours. I didn't have to, go and be away for a certain period of time. I could actually go around and help mum and my sister as well and my brother with, the day-to-day. And it was obviously getting harder and harder, especially for mum, who was, essentially the sole carer. So the time itself wasn't very fun. We all moved in to help out. And, never a good time. But at the same time, it was good that we got together to share that experience and we got to say goodbye and it made us all a lot closer. So
you talk, Justin, about the fact that your dad was in remission and then he obviously had a recurrence. Was that difficult? And talk us through how you felt when you probably thought he was in the clear and then unfortunately it reoccurred.
Yeah. It's just, it's something that's always in the back of your mind. Like, could it come back? And unfortunately, it was one of those things that did and it floored us all, I guess. And I guess because the first time, you fought it pretty bravely and fairly strongly. Whereas, this time around it was a bit of a sense of, how much fight are we going to have? And, he was still brave again, but ultimately couldn't get through it. So.
And you've both, Connor and Justin, spoken to me about key milestones that, your parents have missed. How do you both navigate that? Because I think, Connor, we were talking about it the other day, losing my mum 30-something years ago, it doesn't mean that pain disappears. I find I've learned to live with it, but not a day goes by that I don't think of her. How do you both navigate that?
Yeah, I guess I was told by a friend of my brother's that grief sort of comes on in waves. So there's no rhyme or reason. There'll be days where I think about mum and I'll be happy that I've had those memories. And there'll be days where it knocks me for six and I can't function and I cry and I miss her. So I guess my day-to-day, it's similar to what you said, Steph. I think about her every day in those quiet moments. I talk about her as if she's still here and that helps keep her alive. Mm. But there are definitely days where I know I go to ground, I go into my shell, like when it's her birthday or the 14th of November is when she passed. I definitely take a bit of a step back and I'm not myself, but I guess it's just trying to communicate to those around me. And my partner, Danny, is very good in the sense that she knows those days are coming up and she's usually there, not even just to talk, just to know that I'm supported. Just really does help.
Absolutely. And for you, Justin?
Yeah, mine was probably a similar experience to Connor in that my two girls never got to meet my dad, but their granddad. But
and how old are they?
One is nearly seven and one is 4.5. So, Evie and Lou. So they talk very fondly of their granddad, lots of picture storybooks and lots of stories. And, we go we go and have a beer and a sparkling water with granddad at his grave and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So it's kind of cool that, you know, he's still there in some way. But yeah, like kind of said, you know, you want to be selfish and have them there all the time. So.
And I don't think that's selfish. I think that's human nature. You know, losing a parent is, losing anyone is difficult, but losing a parent is particularly hard. And I know that from personal experience. But it's lovely that you share those memories with them and that they have that connection. I suppose that's a lovely segue in a sense that support is so important, even for loved ones. And that is why we do Dry July, because we raise funds for bowel care nurses and Bowel Cancer Australia. So talk us through what you're doing through Dry July. Obviously, for both of you, and Connor, you've said, you know, you're starting to shake a little about the 1st of July. What are you doing to raise funds?
I guess it's just having those conversations online and in person. I've always been pretty good about regular updates on how fundraising is going, because people like seeing that number ticking up, and it's a constant reminder that people are kind, and they say that, yeah, they're going to donate, but everyone's life is busy. So like it obviously just falls down the pecking order, and then just it falls out of mind. So if you're continually having these conversations, one, you're getting the facts about Bowel Cancer Australia out there and you're raising awareness to it. And two, people are like, yes, I still need to do that. It brings that forward. And then I guess it's just being open and honest when people do ask. Like, so if I still go to the pub as much as I can with friends and family, and people might ask, oh, do you want to drink? I said, no, I'm actually not drinking this month. I'm doing Dry July. And you have the conversation on that. And I'd be surprised if 9 out of 10 people wouldn't finish that conversation by saying, send me the link. I'm happy to donate. And I guess I'm trying new avenues this year in terms of using LinkedIn as another way of having those conversations. And I've actually got a bit of support from my Nuffy Sports friends at the West Tigers Life podcast and the associated Discord. So,
well, thank you to them.
A good group of long-suffering West Tigers fans that are happy to help out a cause for someone they haven't even met in person, aside from one or two people. So I think cumulatively they've topped me up about $400 this last week. And
fantastic.
Similar vein, they run a podcast talking about the games and previews, and the guys were happy to spruik the link up there. So I guess it's just being open and honest with people and just trying to get the messaging out there and just getting the link out there as much as possible.
I'll come back to a little bit about what you want people to take from you doing it in a minute. But before I do, Justin, do you want to take us through? You've got a special name for you.
Yeah, so just been raising funds personally the last few years. This year I thought I'd get on board and, you know, come up with a bit of a team name that was catchy. And a bit of what I do in my work life is, you know, a bit of graphic design and a bit of marketing. So sort of lent on those skills a bit. And we're based in the goldfields of central Victoria. So we've come up with a team name called the Goldfields Grogstoppers.
I love it.
It'd be nice to get some jerseys made up. Already we've raised 500, which is, you know, about half what I raised last year personally. So I guess people attach themselves more to, you know, a brand these days. So I'm sort of leaning hard on that this year, and hopefully we can raise some good funds.
Fantastic. And what will you both have on the 1st of August? What beverage will you have?
Just a nice pint of beer is probably the way to go. Probably sit down, watch the footy. It'd be something I usually miss.
It'll be the same for me. I'll be drinking a pint of beer, and hopefully over July, Carlton Football Club improves so I can actually enjoy.
That might be wishful thinking, I think, Justin.
Justin, my father-in-law came in moody. He's an Adelaide fan, and I asked him what was wrong. He said, Port smashed Carlton Thursday.
Yeah.
So how important do you think support is for not only the patient but for the loved ones?
I think it's a massive support, especially for mum. She was gifted quite a fair bit of resources and just things that would help with chemo and her treatment. So I remember she got gifted quite a few beanies because the treatment was making her very cold. So there's a lot of photos of her going out on walks wearing the beanies that were provided to her from various support services such as Bowel Cancer Australia, and just people reaching out, having conversations with us in terms of what could happen, what might happen, was always helpful. Yeah, I think it's super important, especially in terms of holistic health. You can only have doctors treat the physical side of things, but there's obviously all these mental battles that go on behind the scenes and tough conversations about what the future looks like, that it's helpful to have someone in your corner that's happy to advocate for you there, rather than, I guess, just having to stew on being stuck in chemo and just focusing on the physical battle.
100%. And Justin?
Yeah, as much as it is for the patient who's going through the worst, it's also the people around them who are also going through that with them. And, you know, watching your loved ones fade away is very hard. So having, you know, that support there is super important. And, yeah, again, you know, just touching on Connor's point, is it's that holistic view. It's, you know, mental health is a big thing. And when you're going through a battle like that, you need all the support you can get. So,
absolutely. And I think that's why, you know, we're so appreciative of both of you and all the others that raise funds for us for Dry July, so that we can have more nursing support and bowel care nurses, as well as psychosocial and exercise physiologists and nutritionists, because it helps through that journey. And having someone to talk to is really important. So from us, big thank you. And I hope you raise lots and lots of funds. Finally, I ask our guests if they have three key points they want people to take from today's podcast. What would your top three be, Connor?
The top three I think about when it comes to Bowel Cancer Australia is just having conversations around how you're going with your bowel movement, I guess, is pretty key. So I now fall into the 25 to 44 age group where bowel cancer is the deadliest cancer in my bracket. So I've got to be more aware of changes in my habits and anything that doesn't look right, and then try and overcome that sort of mental block men have in general about going to get checked out. So that's probably a key one, is just having those conversations on. It seems like it's older generation. It seems like our parents, but the reality is we're currently on the battlefield right now. So that's probably key. The second point is obviously advocating people to go get tested once they feel like something's wrong. So I know the government provides free testing for people that fall in a certain demographic, but there is also access to testing that I myself have accessed in losing mum, to make sure that there's no hereditary risk currently. And it's probably a healthy reminder having this conversation to look at getting that sorted once again. And then the third point is probably more one stepping away from bowel cancer, but more just the journey on losing a loved one, is there's never a bad time to call someone. There's never a bad time to give someone a hug, because one day you're not going to have that opportunity. And I spoke to you, Steph. I spoke to my mum 3-4 times a week on the phone just to check in, even though she lived 10 minutes up the road from me at that time. And that's the hardest thing I found losing mum, is I don't have that outlet anymore. And like, I love my dad, but my dad's useless when he comes to his phone. So if I get him once a week, that's a big bonus. So yeah, just if you want to reach out and you want to speak to someone, reach out, do it. Like, because like I said, one day it's not going to be there. Take advantage of every moment you have. Don't be afraid to love someone, because they probably love you back.
That's beautiful. I think that is very wise words, Connor, and that connection with people. I still occasionally think, oh, I'd love to talk to my mum. Justin, for you, your top three things?
Yeah, probably in a similar vein to Connor, I guess, is especially for men, is being aware, being, I don't know, vigilant, I guess, especially as you do get older. I'm a bit older than you, Connor, but I'm pushing up the other end of the age bracket. But I'm due to start some more intensive, you know, regular checkups based on my family history now. So yeah, I guess it's, yeah, number one is being aware. Number two is talking. Yeah, the more you talk, the more you learn, and the more you're gonna enact, I guess, some sort of change with your situation. So, and number three is, you know, the price of the coffee is, especially in Victoria, you know, you're probably paying $5-6 for a coffee these days. So, you know, give up a coffee a week and you can start making a difference. So you don't have to be donating, you know, $50, $100, $200. It can be, you know, $5 a week. It can be a dollar a day. It can be whatever it needs to be. But every little bit counts. So
your message to men in particular, men without stereotyping, sometimes do stick their head in the sand. So that's great advice. I want to thank you both for joining me today on the Bottom Line podcast for raising funds for Dry July this year. We are so very appreciative, and thank you for sharing your story so openly and frankly. I know that this will help others. So thank you for joining me on the Bottom Line podcast, Connor and Justin.
Thank you for having us. And Justin, thank you for sharing your story as well.
Yeah, and likewise.
It's always nice to hear someone else has fought the same fight you have. So I hope you're doing well, mate.
Yeah, thank you. And same to you, mate.
Thank you, guys. And thank you. I'm glad that you could connect as well. It's all about connection.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bottom Line podcast. To find out more about bowel cancer or for support or simply to donate, please go to bowelcanceraustralia.org.